You can turn your Bible to Ephesians chapter 5. We'll be in verse 25, and we're going to continue what we picked up 2 weeks ago, and that was, put the slide up. I can't remember what I put up this week, but God's order of operation, and this is love, and to give you a little more clarity, it's how husbands are to love their wives, okay? So what I mean by that we know we're supposed to love, but how are we to do that, men? If you're married, how are we to do that? And that's what we're going to continue. We had Mother's Day last week, and then the week before, we preached on the wife's role of submission and things of that nature, which, you know, I know in today's society that is not popular, but, you know, I hope that the one thing that I get right as a pastor, I make lots of mistakes, and that I'm pretty much what the Bible says, you know, and I'm going to do that unapologetically. And I thought 2 weeks ago was really good, though, and the one thing that I'll say in a minute, but I asked my wife how it was, you know, I ask her that every Sunday, and she said, well, it sounds like you preach to the husband more than you do the wives, but the truth is, I mean, I think the part we forget is it says in verse 23, for husband is the head. With that responsibility, guys, more focus needs to be given to the leadership. So anyway, but like I said, we've did the 2 week, been a 2 week series, and it'll probably go on, because in chapter 6 and verse 1, you'll see children obey your parents. So obviously the content here is the family, and the family and the home are under attack. You know, I guess 20 years ago, the devil attacked it by, and when I say this, I'm trying to hurt anyone's feelings, but the devil tore the home up through divorce, you know, and split the home. Now, he's destroying the home by saying that, you know, different order of operation, and now we're destroying the home and the family by saying men can be women and women can be men, and the devil's just tearing the home up, and you have fathers who are not in the home. And so that's really what it is about. This is really the order of operation of the home, okay? And there is, as I said, I opened up 2 weeks ago, that in math, many of y'all probably had math class in school. And now the order of operation, you know, when you see a problem, you want from left to right, you do certain things first, and the next thing, and it's been a long time, I can't remember it all. I said it 2 weeks ago, but now the order of operation, and when it comes to a complicated math problem, if you don't follow the order of operation, you're going to get the wrong answer. In America, or actually not America, in your home, if you don't follow God's order of operation, you're going to get it wrong. You're not going to get the results that you want. You're not going to get the results that you're proud of. And that's fact. And so, no, the order has to be followed if you want a home to have the right result, to have harmony, unity, peace, strength, God-honoring children, and lasting marriage, and man that you want to be in. You know, that's a bit sad to say, but a lot of people have lasting marriages, but it's not a marriage that they want to be in. That's sad as well. And a home where the children want to be in it. So if that's you, if you want that in your home, then you need to listen up. Because a marriage, or a home, I should say, really, should continually get better and richer and more satisfying. And the problem, though, is that's rare today. Especially men, have bought into this idea that freedom and independence and living with the wind in your hair and not having a family and not having kids, and that's where life's at, but it's really not the truth. Nothing wrong in that. I mean, that's what God's called you to do. But I get what I'm saying, that even in our society, with men and women, there seems to be a disdain for family. Don't you agree that kids are a nuisance and that keep you from living life to the fullest? You know, that's what we're living now, which is why so many people get abortions. No, I won't get started on that. But that's really the society we live in. But the home is a wonderful thing because, you know, why? Because God's the one that designed it. A home where husband, wife, and children look forward to going home is rare. You know why that is? Because Satan has got the world and the church deceived that you don't have to follow the orders of operation. We got men who don't want to lead, and we have wives who don't want them to and won't let them. We have wives who think that it's harmful to follow a man. We've got men who think all that loving a wife means is sleeping with them. We've got kids who don't know that their role is to listen to the parent, and then they think that listening to the parent is optional. When did that happen? Brother Darryl, when did that happen? And I was a fairly good kid, and I don't remember, I got in trouble. But I knew that it wasn't optional. There were things that wasn't, when did that happen? That's the problem. A lot of home people don't want to go because the kids don't listen. When did that become optional? I don't know when it happened, but I know it has happened. And really, what it is, the family, from top to bottom, isn't following the God's order of operation. I mean, that right there, that's the truth. They're not following the order of operation. God's order of operation is, and I said this 2 weeks ago, and we talked on that, if you weren't here, great sermon. That's why you should never miss a Sunday. Not because of my preaching, but because we went through a very important truth. Okay? And I cannot go back and tell it to you in the way we talk about it. But here it is. Men are to be the head. And by the way, I said this, and I'm not back down. Any organization has to have a leader. And God chose for the man to be the leader. Now, I'll be honest with you. You say, well, there ain't many good men out there. And that's probably true. But it's still what God wants. God wants good men to be godly men to be leaders. And there can only be one chief. That's how it's supposed to be. The problem, and like I said already, we have men who are not godly men, and they don't want to lead. Our order of operations, women are to follow, and children are to obey. Men are to be the head and to love their wives as Christ loved the church. And the thing is, you got to read it all in context. So let's look here. I mean, it says in verse 25, husband, love your wife even as Christ also loved the church. And I've already said this, but I'm going to say it again, is that I did ask my wife. I said, what do you think about the sermon? She said, it sounded like you pretty hard on the men, not hard on the women, you know. And I didn't do that. I'm not intimidated, okay? I'm not trying to be rude, but I don't get intimidated by that. Somebody said, that was a hard topic. Not really. Because you know why? Because it does say it's the Lord. Like I said, if you have a problem with verse 22 and 24, then you have a problem with God, not me. And I understand that. But I'm going to say this. And I told Elizabeth, good, because as the head, we have more responsibility. We have more to do, men, and which means we got more to get wrong. We are the hand. We are in charge, as I say. That means we have more responsibility, and with that, we've got a lot more ways that we can fumble the football. A lot, and we probably do. Men, Paul addressed the wives in 3 verses. Paul is going to take 8 verses to address the husband, essentially, okay, roughly, okay. And I know it kind of transitions a little different toward verse 31, but I guess what I'm trying to say here is men, it's time to be men who lead their family. But to do that is going to take loving your wife. Now, not just loving your wife, but loving your wife as Christ loved the church. So, husband, you have a pattern. You have, and I want you, that was my title, and this wasn't going to be a series, is the perfect pattern. Christ, men, husband, you have the perfect pattern. That's what you're supposed to follow. So here's the, I guess what I'm saying is, you might want to buckle up. We have a tall order. We have a big order. Husband, love your wives. What does that mean? And what does it look like? And how do we walk away today with some practical things that we can do, and with the Holy Spirit's help, if you're saved, to do that? What does it mean? Well, it means you love your wife, number one, sacrificially. Number one, in sacrificial love. Letter A here is the description. We see here an illustration, and it's a good illustration. I like illustration. Well, I mean, I don't, because it's a tall order, but it's understandable. It says here, verse 25, husband, love your wife, even as Christ, and also love the church. Okay. So, okay, men, husband, what you're to do, and you are to love your wife as Christ loved the church, okay? So the love that Christ had for the church is the pattern that husband ought to love his wife, okay? That's a tall order. I mean, the quality of love, of Christ's love, is endless. Wouldn't you agree? It's endless. I mean, when you say, like, men, husband, we ought to love our wives as Christ, that's infinity. So how can we maybe make this a little more understandable? Well, you gotta keep reading. Look at verse 25 again. It says, and gave himself for it. So he kind of clarifies here. Paul said, and what he's trying to get at, he said, and gave himself for it. Christ's love for the church resulted in Christ dying for the church. His love was characterized by sacrifice. So what this means, husbands, is we are to love like Christ and love our wives sacrificially. So see, what happens, the women are like, man, I gotta submit. Man, that's not good. Men, we gotta love our wives sacrificially. And both sides are saying and thinking, I might get taken advantage of. Right? If I follow my husband unconditionally, I'm going to get taken advantage of. And I know what the husbands are thinking, because this is what I'm thinking. Well, if my wife knows that I'm supposed to love her sacrificially, she's going to take advantage of that. See how they work together, though? See, if we both, husband and wife, are doing both these things, and it's all going to work together because we're all being like Christ, there's not going to be any taken advantage of. But here's what we're supposed to do. We are to love our wives. God's order of operation is for you to love your wife sacrificially. It means your love will lead you to give up some of your time. It means you'll give up some of your desires, your wants, and preferences for her. Now, ladies, if men would do that, I'm not saying they always do, but if a man would do that, then a woman would have no problem following. But Mike, if women would follow, a man wouldn't have any problem loving that way either, right? You see, it goes both ways. If a man has a wife who will follow him, and the leader, and he don't have any problem loving her, and if he's loving her, your wife is going to have any problem following. The problem is not in the operation. The problem is with us, the people. But anyway, I know me personally. I have to be honest. No, all joking aside, because it's not a joking matter. I know that some of the bumps in my own marriage would have never taken place if I were to love my wife sacrificially. It works. It will work. So, let's look at the perfect example of this kind of love. When Jesus came to earth, I want you to get this, man, in your mind, okay? When Christ came to earth in human form, he knew that he would be mocked, ridiculed, mangled, rejected, beaten, and crucified. He gave up his privilege as a son, God's son, to come. He humbled himself. Philippians 2, whom being in the form of God, thought not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took on the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even death of the cross. Here's what he did. He suffered, bled, and died for our sin. Now, what motivated him to do that? What caused him to do that? Ready? Love. Love. Okay, now I'm just get the picture, man. Love. Ephesians 5:2 says, and walk in love as Christ also loved us and has given himself for an offering and sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. Now I'm gonna take a little time out here and name my notes. But we talked about 2 weeks ago that submission, men are to submit as well. Okay, I'm gonna say this like I said again. Wives are to submit to the choices of the husband, and husbands are to submit to the needs of the wife. Okay? So submission goes both ways, so does love. Wives, you're to love your wife, you're to love your husband as well. Because it says that that's all of us. Walk in love as Christ has loved us. So anyway, I want to throw that in there. Husband, this is a kind of love that we are to demonstrate. I want you to get that. The example in Christ came down, and his love led him to be to live 30 years in his old body. I mean, Little Sonny, I mean, even as humans, I'm not God, obviously, like Jesus. It gets kind of wearisome, right, being in this body. Think about how it was for God. It would have been, living 30 years in a human body would have been torture. But not only did he do that, he died. His love did that. If you want your man to be better, then start loving your wife sacrificially. Many marriages are struggling because of lack of sacrificial love. And you say, Brother Will, you don't know her. It's just not possible. I got an answer for you. Maybe that's true. Maybe that's where you're at today. Maybe it's not possible. It is possible. Because God would never command you to do something that wasn't possible. Which leads me to let her be the demand. This sacrificial love, we described it in the love that propelled Jesus to the cross, the sacrifice that is in that. But here's the demand. Loving your wife is commanded. And if you start looking at verse 25, husband, love your wife, that's an imperative, okay? It's a command. And if you start studying the word love, and I didn't even have time because I knew it would go way too long, and it's agape love, which is a choice, a decision, and here it is. This love isn't based on what she is or is not, but because it is God's will for him to love her. So husband, what one commentator said here is that it's a command, which means you are to love her, not because of what she is or what she isn't, but because you're commanded to. Now, women, I know, ladies, that this isn't romantic. I've even joked my wife for years. We've only been married 7 years. And I still do it sometimes. She said, do you love him? Well, I have to. And, you know, she rolls her eyes. I know. Hear me out, though. Because we've been brainwashed. Ladies, you've been brainwashed. I know, ladies, that doesn't sound romantic. And it wouldn't make it in a Hallmark movie. But that's the truth. By the way, and the truth is, if your husband would grab this command and obey it, wives, you would think you were in a Hallmark movie. Whew. I thought that my own. I'm pretty good at it. See? Now we're like, I know, lady, you don't want to hear that. Oh, my husband's loving me because he has to. But if he grabs that, and he did that, the way the Bible said, you would feel like you were in a Hallmark movie. The problem is, on both sides of the fence in a marriage, we've been brainwashed by Hallmark and Disney and all this stuff. But love is a choice. And when you understand, husband, that there's a demand. It's a demand for you to love your wife. By the way, loving your wife is in you. God can command this because if you're saved, you have this capacity. Romans 5:5 says, and hope makes not ashamed because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. And the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. So men, you have that in you. You have that capability. It is very possible because it should be done because it's commanded and it is possible because God give you that. And by the way, your wives don't earn this kind of love. She don't, you say she don't deserve it. Now, it might be true, but Christ's kind of love isn't earned or merited. No, you love your wife because she needs your love, not because she's earned it. Same thing with submission 2 weeks ago. If you wait, see, I'm saying, if you wait, wives, you say, well, I'll respect him, but that's what I'm talking about, love and respect. Go back 2 weeks ago, verse 33 says, so love his wife even himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. Love and respect. You know, and you say, well, I'm not going to respect my husband. Well, it's biblical. He's going to have to earn it. You'll never respect him or follow him because it will be just a little bit more. I'll follow my husband when he just earns it. Well, it'll never happen. Same thing on the other side. Men, husband, if you wait until your wife deserves to be loved, you'll never love her. Because you'll say, well, just a little bit more. Just a little bit more. Just a little bit more. And that's the thing. The problem is that these are not optional for both sides. This is a command. And by the way, that's not what Jesus did. He didn't die on the cross because he looked down one day and said, you know what, Brother Daryl? They've done pretty good this week. They deserve for me to die on the cross. Jesus, because if that was the case, we should be waiting on him. So, men, that's a picture, that's the pattern of what we're supposed to do for our wives. That's how we're supposed to love them. Jesus loved us because we needed it, not because we've earned it. When there is need, love act with no consideration of deserving or worth. Husband, that's what you ought to do. By the way, we live in a very, love is very selfish most of the time in the world's eyes. Loving your wife sacrificially is a command. See, Christ looked at the cross and said, I don't want to do that. He wanted to say, let this cup pass from me. He didn't want to do it. I mean, he did, but he didn't. He human side didn't want to do it. He looked at us and knew that we didn't deserve it while we were yet sinners. Nor did we appreciate it. And he knew that some would reject him. So what in the world would lead him to say, you know what, I'm going to die on that cross? Love. Love. That's the kind of love, husband, that we ought to have for our wives. And you know what? There's no doubt that there have been many homes and many marriages destroyed because of that. No doubt. No doubt. Love. Husbands, maybe you don't want to, but that doesn't get you off the hook. Maybe they don't deserve it, but that doesn't get you off the hook either. God's order of operation isn't optional. You are to love your wife sacrificially because that's what Christ did for the church. I think a lot of people might not get married if they really understood what it meant to be a husband. You know? It might stop a few marriages. So that is what we ought to do. I put this down. Hard? Yes. Optional? No. Possible? Yes. See, when we love like crying, that means we love sacrificially. But number two, it means that it's a sanctifying love. Verse 26. Now, this is pretty easy to understand. It can be a little harder to apply. There's a little bit of a digression here. And you'll see what I mean here. And he kind of goes into the church just completely. And it says, in verse 26, that he might sanctify and cleanse it. Now, talking about he is Jesus. With the washing of water by the word, and there's much debate over the washing of water, and the biggest issue that and the heresy is that you have to be baptized to be saved. which is called baptism of regeneration, okay? That is totally unbiblical, and that does not teach that, okay? Anyway, we're not really going to address this as much, but it says, and by the word, by the word, okay? Now, he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that it should be holy and without blemish, okay? So, little A here is the desires, I guess, either one, of Christ. You see words like sanctify. You see the word clean. You see the word spotless. You see the word holy. You see the word without blemish. Okay, so the God, Christ loves his church, does not allow him to be content with any sin or any moral spiritual impurity. Christ's love for you leads Christ wanting you to be clean. Okay, that's really what it is. Okay, Christ loves you enough that he is letting you stay where you're at and clean you up and put you on the right path. Okay, so that's really what it's saying. Okay, now this is a little harder to apply to the marriage. What does that mean? Because he talks to men, we're to love our wives sacrificially, and he said, hey, and Christ loves the church, he's sanctifying love. Well, let me first say this. It's not just about the wives and the husband. It's about the home. Christ-like love cares for the spiritual well-being in others, okay? And it applies to all of us. A Christ-like kind of love means I care for Miss Jean spiritually. You know, I care about her if she's sick. I care about if she's hungry. No doubt. But Christ-like love goes a little further. I don't just care about that. I care about Miss Jean, spiritually speaking. And I want her to be all she can be for Christ. That's a Christ kind of love. So now, in the context here, that applies to husband and wife. And so what he's saying here is that husband, in order to be here, is the duty of the husband. That means the husband has the duty. Now, don't take this the wrong way, but there's a duty to love his wife to the point that he cares about her spiritual well-being. I'll be honest with you. The average Christian husband, I don't think gives much thought to his wife's spiritual well-being. I said a couple weeks ago about the husband who changed job for his family's spiritual well-being. I don't think there's many husbands like that. I mean, when you think about, I'm going to work overtime, are you thinking about the spiritual well-being of your family? When you take a job that requires you to work or go move to another state where there's no church that you could go to, do that go into the calculation? It should. Not just for your wife, but for yourself and for your family. John MacArthur said, love wants only the best for the one it loves and cannot bear for a loved one to be corrupted or misled by anything evil or harmful. When a husband loves for his wife, it's like Christ loving the church. He will continually seek to help purify her from any sort of defilement. Okay, now, I know that sounds kind of bad. We're not there just to be the Holy Spirit. We're not there to be the hypocrite. But we have a spiritual responsibility to love our wife and our family to the point that we are concerned about what the family's doing, spiritually speaking. I look at it like this. The husband, the wife and children, the wife and children are like sheep, and the husband's a shepherd. And out there in this world, there's lots of bears, lots of things that can get them. And just like with sheep, we have wild hogs now in Alabama. And he just told me that they root up all these little trees he had planted. So now he got a hot wire up, trying to keep them out of the garden. He's trying to protect his garden. We don't have any problem with that, do we? Spiritually speaking, there's a lot of wild hog that's after your family. And husband, it is your responsibility to look out for them. It's your responsibility to wake up and say, hey, where's my family heading, spiritually speaking? Where's my family heading, spiritually speaking? And it's sad that most of the time in the family, in the church, the wives are the spiritual leader. That's not how it's supposed to be. I'm very thankful for that. Bible did that. Deborah did that in the Old Testament. But that's not how it's to be. The husband, you have a responsibility to look after her spiritually. The love of a husband for the wife ought to be be cleansing her and him so both can become like Christ. Let me ask you, do you care about your wife spiritually? Do you care about that? That's how you love your love like Christ. Now, you know the problem? And a lot of men ain't doing that. And there's a lot of wives that don't want that either. Don't get me wrong. To be able to do this duty, husbands, you have to be sanctified. What is it? What's good for the goose? Good for the gander? You have to lead by example. I mean, many verses say, consider yourself first. Take out the beam out of your eye before you take the splinter out of someone else's eye. I was taught in school, you know, vision and things. It's not taught, it's caught. Don't expect more out of your wife than you expect out of yourself. To lead the home in holiness, you have to first be holy. And that first start with salvation. Salvation. But it also means you have to be sanctified. It means what? Set apart. You have to be a set apart from this world, man. You have to be a set apart in what you entertain yourself with. You have to be set apart for God. Now, man, it's really not, because some people went in a different direction, but it really means to be set apart. You have to be set apart for God. You have to be set apart for your wife. Your eyes belong to your wife. Your thoughts belong to your wife. You're not going to do a good job of leading your family in holiness if you're not holy. And by the way, you think you can get by with it, but you can't. You can't. You think, well, I just hide these sin and my whole family won't know. Yeah, they will, because if you're hiding sin in your life and you're not repenting and getting out, it's going to affect how you're leading. And you may say, well, no one else knows. Yeah, God knows, and you're not going to be able to run the race effectively. It's kind of like having a football player who had the injury. They don't tell anybody, right? They don't tell anyone about that they got a hurt ankle. But it don't take long. In about a second quarter, everybody knows. Why? Because his performance ain't adding up. You may think you got it in secret. And you may think that no one knows. And you can say, oh, it's no big deal. But at the end, because you can try and you can go through the motion, but you're not going to lead the home in holiness if you men are not holy. And if you're not set apart. And it'll tell. Time will tell. Time will tell. Your kids. You think, oh, they're going to turn it. No, they won't. Because it's not genuine. You're not real. You're just going through the motions. You can't love your wife with a sanctifying love if you're not personally living a sanctified life. Christ's love involves making sure that we're clean. Husbands, you ought to love your wife enough to make sure she's living the way God wants her to. It's your spiritual obligation at the husband, at the head, for your wife and yourself, and for it's you to make the decision sometimes and say no to them, but also no to yourself. It's your responsibility to say, you know what, we don't even watch that TV show. Because it's not good for us. We don't need to be doing this. We don't need to be doing that. Hey, we need to cut down on vacation because we're missing too much church. It's up to you. You need to make that call. The problem is most men don't really want a godly woman, and most women don't appreciate a man caring for them spiritually and leading in that area. Most men aren't set apart. Most men are hindered by their own sin, and they can't help their wives. So what do we need to do? Husbands, repent, get clean. Hey, we're going to have an altar call today. Hey, if you got something in your life, you need to get out and get right. If you're not been leading your family, you need to get right today with that. Husbands, do whatever it takes. Most men are not willing to do what it takes to get right with God. You need to get serious. Husbands, get clean. Love your wife enough to lead her to be clean. And wives, appreciate it and don't despise it. Husband, do you love your wife in love? That's what it means to love like Christ. Christ's love is sacrificially love, it's a sanctifying love, and then number three, and finally, it's a selfless love. Not selfish, but selfless love. Now, then it wasn't getting real practical. Maybe you say, Brother Will, you did a terrible job of teaching the first 2 points, and even the Bible, I don't really understand it. I love Paul. Then here it is. It's really easy to understand. Look, read with me in verse 28. So, in case you don't understand any of that type of stuff, I don't know what to do. I still just don't know what to do. Verse 28 makes it real easy. So, men, it really is kind of the application. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. Now, you don't have to even understand what that means to know what that means. Not really. That's as practical as it can get. Little A, here's the rule. The rule is, love your wife as your own body. Do for her what you do for yourself. Okay, I'll make it real simple. If you're thirsty, what you do, I get up and get me something to drink. Not what you probably do for your wife. And I'm not going to lie, I'm feeling this sermon, and I guess it was Friday night. I think I finished it on Friday. So Friday night. I think it was Friday night. It may not be. I don't know. I think it was Friday night. We ate supper with Howard, and I went to the freezer and got me some ice cream. Oreo ice cream. I'm not sure what it's called. Crazy cream. And I sat down in my chair, and I saw Liv was over there. She had the baby. And I took a bite. I said, I know. I bet she wants some ice cream. I didn't get up, though. But I was thinking, I said, this is exactly what God's talking about. And I'm failing right now. So, I should treat her the way I treat myself. I treated myself some ice cream, and what I should have done was said, I didn't ask, because I knew she'd want some, but I didn't. But what that means is, just selfless love means, when we love her like Christ, that means that we get up and get her some ice cream and give it to her. Better yet, make her a bowl first. Because that's what I did, right? I treated myself first to some ice cream. That's what that means. It means if she was you, you didn't put her first. You would give her the last slice of cake. Why? Because that's what you want. And I mean, you would give her the benefit of the doubt. Why? Because that's what you want. I mean, you would give her help because that's what you want. You would give her grace because that's what you do for yourself. I mean, have you ever made a mistake? What do? You let yourself off the hook, right? What we're supposed to do. That's the rule. Here's the reason. Let her be here. What reason? Why? Why are we... Verse 28 and 29 explain that. It says, he that loveth his wife loveth himself. So, you know what it is? The wife is a part of him, and he is a part of her. See, I really would like to do a study on this even deeper. If you're married, you're one. You're one. I mean, the oneness. Yet, so many times, that's why so many couples, they don't make it because they don't realize they're one in everything. In everything. You're one. And now he says, well, the reason he said, because when you're loving her, you're loving yourself. Although I don't know if I do believe it, but I mean, I know if I gave her ice cream, I can't taste it. But you understand the point. Because you're one, you are one. I think that's why we don't see it that way. We're one. You're one with them. Which is why, well, that's why people who get divorced, and it's so hard because you're cutting yourself in half. And even if it couldn't be helped, that's why the pain is just so difficult, because you're one. I mean, it is. It's not just a piece of paper. It's a spiritual unity that God puts together. But the other reason is this. Look at verse 29. For no man ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, even as the Lord the church. So the other reason, you're one, but the other reason is if you love her as yourself, you're going to do what's right. See, you don't even have to have the doctrine in your mind. You may not understand, I'm supposed to love her sanctifiedly, and I'm supposed to be sacrificial. No, here's the thing. If you love your wife as yourself, you're going to do what's right with me. You're going to sacrifice. You're going to care for her spiritually. You're going to want what's best for her. But that's why verse 28 and verse 27 is really the 29, that's the application. So you won't hate her because no one hates themselves. You'll nourish her. Why? Because I always make sure I have food to eat every day. I don't have to think about it. You will cherish her. You know, you hear people say, treat people the way you want to be treated. But really, when it comes to marriage, when it comes to your wife, it should be this. Treat your wife the way you treat yourself. Treat your wife and treat yourself. You know why? Because I treat myself pretty good. And that's the whole point. Love, and that's a selfless love. Love your wife the way you love yourself. When you do that, you'll be loving her with a selfless kind of love. When you do that, you'll be loving like Christ. And that is how you are to love your wife. We, husbands, are to love our wives as Christ loved us. And that's the problem. That's the problem with the home, is that 2 weeks ago, in most homes, everybody's guilty. The husband's not leading, the wife's not following. The husband's not loving, and the children's not obeying. But this is God's order of operation. And the problem is that what's happened is over time we step a little bit further, a little bit further from that, and we're not doing it at all in our home, and the results are very telling. Look around at the homes. Look at the kids. Why? What does it look like? It's a tall order. What does it look like? Sacrifice, sanctifying, and selfless. Husbands, how are you doing? How are you doing? I think as Miss Tammy and Miss Brenda come to play, and we stand on our feet, let me ask you, husband, how are you doing? Hey, aren't you? I mean, probably the most convicting one to me, and I think that most men are completely probably not getting right, is number two. Do you care about your wife, and do you care about your children's spiritual health? Are you concerned about where they're at spiritually? Well, maybe that's what, to do that, men, you gotta get your life right. You say, my wife, she's lukewarm spiritually. Well, you are too, probably. You're not going to help your wife if you're lukewarm. You can't lead your family in prayer if you don't have a prayer time already. Man, it starts with you. Hey, maybe you are being selfish. Maybe you're not sacrificing. I don't know what it is. All I know is what the Word of God teaches us, husbands, that we ought to do. And they begin to play, and God has spoken you. Hey, and by the way, like I said 2 weeks ago, ladies, wives, it goes both ways. I read one statement how that these are mutual, okay? You're supposed to love your husband just like the husband is to submit at times. There's supposed to be a mutual love and a mutual submission. But yeah, man, these are directed to you, and that's what I want to do. I want to direct it to you. Me and my dad was talking, he read an article about how there's a lack of men in our society. And I'm not talking about John Wayne, Clint Eastwood kind of men. I'm talking about men who love God. So men like David, who was a man of God's own heart. Some men like that. Some men like Moses. Some men like that. We are lacking that in our country. But here's what's sad. We're missing that in our churches. And we're missing that in our homes. Men, hey, time to get right.